Lovely. Right, well, who likes ice cream? Show of hands. Yes, I thought that would happen. I love ice cream, but I do have a particular problem with ice cream. Does anybody want to guess what my problem is? I can't choose which flavour to have. There are just so many different flavours. I don't know, who's got a particular flavour? Gavin, have you got a particular favourite?
The cookie dough one.
The cookie dough. Well, mine is rum and raisin. No, actually, it's chocolate chip. No, it's... Well, you see the problem. I just can't make up my mind. So I thought, well, maybe we could go for the Scooby-Doo solution. Just have them all piled on top of each other. Well, imagine that you were at a party, a wonderful party, and you'd finished all the sausage rolls and the crisps and the pizzas, and you're waiting for the ice cream. And then finally the ice cream comes out. But by the time they get to you, it's a disaster. They have run out of ice cream. Going to ask the grown-ups a similar question. Now, who likes a nice glass of wine? Yes, quite a bit. Let's see. So, Celia, what's your favourite type of wine?
I like a medium
white. Good choice. I like a Rioja myself. Actually, no, I like a Chardonnay. Well, you see, I get the same problem with wine. Well, today's true story from the Bible is all about a special party. A wonderful party. It was a wedding. But they didn't run out of ice cream at this party. They ran out of wine. So imagine you were there at the wedding, at the party. And let me just say that back then, weddings were special parties. They could go on for several days. But the most embarrassing thing that could happen at a wedding back in the days of Jesus was to run out of wine. That really was a disaster. And today's true Bible story, well, that's exactly what happens. The unthinkable happens. They run out of wine. So we're going to hear what happens in our Bible reading. Caught you out then. Father, we do thank you for the Lord Jesus, in whom you display your glory, and we pray now that you would help us to understand from your word the Bible. Amen. So, back to today's true Bible story. Can anybody remember where we are? Remember where we are? What town are we in? Elmswell, very, very clever. Right, I won't ask you another question. Where are we? We're in Cana in Galilee, and what's the party that's going on? It's a wedding, isn't it? So imagine that you're one of the servants at the wedding party. You can see the disaster that has happened. Now, not many people realise what's gone wrong at the moment, but there is one person who spots the problem, and the person is Jesus' mother. She spots the problem. They've run out of wine. So she tells Jesus about the problem. And Jesus thinks, I better do something about this. We can't have this party turning into a disaster. How does Jesus solve the problem? He turns something into something, doesn't he? He turns some water into wine. Well, here we have... I have the clicker, actually. Have you got the clicker? There is a glass of water. Now, would you be impressed if I turned that glass of water into wine? I think you'd be pretty impressed. Well, there you go. Yes, you would be impressed if I did that, but is that what Jesus did? Well, not really. You see, Jesus didn't just change one glass of water into wine. He changed far more than that. So here we have a bottle of wine. Did Jesus turn that amount of water into wine? No. Far more than that. Look down at verse 6 if you have your Bibles open. And you'll try and spot how many containers were there. There were how many containers? 6. Alright. So maybe Jesus turned this amount of water into wine. Well, he did far more than that. Have a look again at verse 6. How much water was there in one of these stone jars? 20 to 30 gallons. Anybody good at maths? let's work it out. Well, okay, so how many bottles did Jesus chain? Well, actually, if we do our maths, 6 stone jars, each holding 20 to 30 gallons, makes about 120 to 180 gallons, multiplied by 6, that's somewhere between 720 and 1,080 bottles. Well, I'm at, how many people are here? There looks like there's 40, 45. Well, if I asked you all to bring a bottle of wine to a party, think about that. That's a lot of bottles. If I asked you each to bring about 24 or 25 bottles of wine to the party, that is the quantity of water that Jesus turned into wine. That is a lot of wine. Which brings me to my first summary statement this morning. Jesus reveals his glory by producing an amazing quantity of wine. It's just staggering, isn't it? Jesus reveals his glory by producing an amazing quantity of wine. But what does this tell us about Jesus and why he came? First of all, it tells us that Jesus is incredibly powerful. You have to be powerful to be able to do this. You have to have God's power. Only God could do this. And that's what verse 11 tells us. Jesus reveals his glory because he demonstrates the power of God in what he does. So we have all this wine, about 1,000 bottles of it. It points to Jesus being more powerful than Superman. But it points to something else. Loads and loads of wine. Does that remind us of anything? Well, maybe not here, but if you were in Cana in Galilee in the first century, it would have reminded you of something special. Guess what loads and loads of wine was a symbol of? Loads and loads of wine was a picture of God's kingdom. Now, kids, just keep listening in at the moment, but in case the adults haven't grasped that bit, I'm going to explain it in a bit more detail to them. Grown-ups, listen in. 800 years before Jesus, the Old Testament prophet Amos was given a message from God. You can see it in Amos chapter 8. And Amos was given a picture of what heaven would be like. And it would be a time of peace and a place of abundance. There'd be loads and loads of food. And one of the special pictures used was wine flowing down from the hills. So when Jesus turned such an amazing quantity of water into wine, people would start thinking, oh, this reminds me of that picture of the kingdom of God. Jesus is showing that he is the one who brings in the kingdom of God. So my first summary statement, Jesus reveals his glory by producing an amazing quantity of wine. Shows us that he's more powerful than Superman because he's God himself. And all this wine reminds us of God's promised kingdom. And Jesus is saying, I am the one, the Messiah, the Christ, who will bring in God's promised kingdom. Okay, kids, I think the adults might have got it by now. Another thing going on in today's Bible story, it's there in verse 10, and I need 2 volunteers. I've already asked Tim to be one. Tim, if you could come and sit up here. You are the master of the banquet. You're sitting there enjoying yourself, and you have no idea that the wine has run out. Now, I need a servant. Who would like to be a servant? Anna, would you like to be? So here we go. We've got these 6 jars of stone jars of water over here. Jesus has just asked you to fill them up with water. Now he asks you to put this cup in it. So put the cup in a stone jar. It's full of what? Water. And you're going to take that now to the master of the banquet. What do you think the master of the banquet's going to do when he tastes that?
Kill me?
Probably kill, yeah. Probably spit it out and say, I want wine, not water. Well, go and see what happens.
This is the best wine I've ever tasted.
Brilliant. Shall we give him a round of applause? He's had too much wine, I think. The best wine the master banquet had ever tasted. That's amazing, isn't it? You see, Jesus doesn't just produce any old wine from the water. He produces the best quality wine. And if Oz Clark was about, he would go on about its bouquet, about its really good, mature, suave texture. He would say, take your time over this wine. Don't just glug it back. Enjoy it. Jesus reveals his glory by producing an amazing quality of wine. And that's my second summary statement. Jesus reveals his glory by producing an amazing quality of wine. Now again, what does this tell us about Jesus and the kingdom of God? Well, first of all, the quality of wine tells us that that's what the kingdom of God is like. It's not just take it or leave it. It is perfect. The kingdom of God is first class, top quality. It's not going to be faulty. It will be perfect. The quality of the wine also again shows us of Jesus' power. Some people, believe it or not, have suggested, well, all Jesus did is just change the colour of the water, and the people were so drunk they thought they were drinking wine. No! The master of the banquet knows what he's talking about. It's the best wine out. Jesus shows his power again. And thirdly, a bit more complicated this one, back to verse 6. Those water jars, what did they used to be used for? They used to be used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, the waters of purification, to make themselves clean. But water can only make you clean on the outside. But Jesus takes that old water and says, no, there's something new now. We're now in the time of new wine. You don't need water to make yourself only outwardly clean. You need me to make you clean inside and out. So Jesus takes that water and turns it into something far better, because Jesus provides real cleansing so we can be acceptable to God and enjoy his abundant kingdom. Anyone who drinks the wine Jesus gives us in faith, anybody who trusts in his shed blood on the cross, is made truly pure and clean. So that's the last thing. Jesus provides a better wine than the old waters of purification. So guys, what have we learned about Jesus today? He reveals his glory in two ways. Firstly, he reveals his glory by producing an amazing quantity of wine. 1,000 bottles. It's a lot of wine. And Jesus reveals his glory by producing an amazing quality of wine. So we've seen that Jesus is powerful, more powerful than Superman. He also has God's power to bring in God's new age, the kingdom of God. A fantastic time of peace and plenty. No more hunger, no more pain, if we trust in Jesus. That's what we look forward to one day. And finally, Jesus shows us that he brings in something far better than the old water that can never make us clean before God. But now people who put their faith in Jesus, well, he will make us pure inside and out. So lastly then, just take a look at verse 11. This, the first of his miraculous signs Jesus performed in Cana of Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. So let me close with this challenge. Jesus has shown us that he is powerful, that he is glorious, that he is God's Messiah, the Christ, who can bring us into his kingdom, a wonderful kingdom. He asks us to trust him. He has shown us his glory. Will we respond by putting our trust in him? Let me close with a prayer. So, Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. Amazing power we've seen today. Amazing goodness flows out from him. We thank you that the kingdom of heaven will be perfect. And thank you that we can be there if we trust in Jesus. So, Lord, help us to trust in him. Amen.